In our series of Saved to Serve, today I want to speak with you about being energized. And if I was to ask you the question, does anyone ever need a little more energy or to be energized? Probably every one of you would say, yeah, man, bring it on. I could use some extra energy. You know, I'd like to get some more sleep, or I'd like to just have a rest, or I'd need more energy for the things that I'm doing every day. But today I'm not going to talk about, you know, energized by using various kinds of stimulants. Sometimes we look to various ways of, you know, if it's coffee with the caffeine, or if it's some 5-hour energy drink that you can slosh down, or a can of Jolt that's huge on caffeine. Those kinds of things are maybe stimulate your body a little bit, but we're not talking about that kind of being energized. God has an energy or can energize us for his purposes to be established. And so we're going to look at God's purposes and how we can discover his purposes for us as individuals and receive the energizing or the various kinds of characteristics that come as a result of God's purposes in our life so that we can be walking in the energy and all these characteristics that God has for us. First of all, throughout this series, we've looked at several passages of Scripture, and rather than having you look them up, unless you can be really quick about it, want to follow along, which you certainly can, for the most part, I'm just going to be putting them on the screen and just have you follow along, because we're jumping around from place to place in the Scriptures today. But first of all, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, we are God's masterpiece. That's one of the very first messages that I shared in this series, that we are a masterpiece. We're God's special creation, created for special things, as we see in here. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So in this, we see God has plans, he has purposes for each one of us as individuals. And he's created us to do these things as his masterpiece, created us anew in Christ so we can do the things he's created us to do. In Romans 12 and verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So all of us are gifted in different ways, doing certain things well. And we're going to examine how is it that we can determine what it is that God has given me to do. How has he graced me and given me a gift for doing certain things well? And then in Psalm 139, verse 16, we've been visiting this passage of Scripture frequently in this series of Saved to Serve, because it definitely speaks of the plan that God has for you and your life. It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So we can see definitely that God has a plan for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And when it says that every day of my life before ever one of them was lived, God had recorded in his book that day. So it's not that God waits for you to live out your day and then makes a journal of your life. Okay, this is what they did today. They went to church on Sunday morning, then they decided to finish out at the fair Sunday afternoon, or went to, you know, had family lunch, Sunday lunchtime. He doesn't record what we did. He recorded before we ever lived one day what those days were to be. And so we're always about, need to be about, discovering the day that God has for me today. What would you have me do today, Lord? You've already recorded it. What's your will for me? And we, before, you know, in various series, we've talked about God being in control and the sovereignty of God and his plan for you, and yet we still have a free will that we can choose to obey God, choose to do what his will is, choose to fulfill his purposes, or we can choose to just do our own thing. And so we're always encouraging you when we're talking about being saved to serve. Please respond to God with gratitude for having saved you, but also respond to God because he purchased you with a price. You are not your own. Your life doesn't belong to you. So give it back to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever it is that you have planned for me today, I purpose to do that. Now, discovering that purpose, there's various ways that we can discover that purpose, and one of the ways is that we can start asking some questions. And here's where I want to head now with this part. First of all, ask yourself, what do you do better than other people? A lot of times that's the way we discover gifts that God has given us for doing certain things well. We can do something better than someone else. And so stop waiting for someone else to do the thing that God has given you to do. Here's another question. What do you do without effort? Again, we're gifted in certain ways. Charlie Olson is an encourager. He does that without effort. It's natural for him to encourage people. You can't talk to him without either being encouraged yourself or hearing him build someone else up. It's just natural. I was sharing last night how Scott is natural on the drums. Man, I wish I could do that. But wow, it's just amazing what he does. Larissa on the keyboard. You know, it's just amazing. God has gifted people for doing certain things well. And so ask yourself, what is it that I do well? Don't covet someone else's gift. You know, God has created you uniquely. You are his masterpiece for doing what he's called you to do. But discover that. And ask yourself, what is it that you do without effort because you're very gifted to do it? Another question, what do you do without being asked? In other words, you just see a need and you go for it. You do it because it's like, well, I can take care of that. You don't have to wait until someone asks you before you're willing to do or ready to do something. Another, what do you readily do without being paid? Not that it's wrong to be paid for things that you do well. In fact, I think that, you know, the best kind of discovery for our life career is to find out what it is that God has gifted us to do, our gifts and our talents, and we exchange those to someone else, either in business for ourselves or employed by someone else. We exchange the gifts and talents that we have for payment. And so it's not wrong to be paid, but there are things that we're just gifted to do. It's like, you know, I'm so satisfied and fulfilled. It's not like you have to pay me to do these things. I just enjoy doing it. Forget about the pay. I just enjoy doing it. You know, to be honest with you, if I was not being paid to pastor, I'd still do it because I love it. Now, don't tell my compensation committee that, because they might say, you know, well, okay, if you're willing to do it for nothing, we'll put those funds other places. Well, that would create a whole new level of stress for me that I don't need to deal with as a pastor. And, you know, that's why the scripture says, you know, don't muzzle the ox while they're treading out the corn. It's appropriate to pay those that are, you know, doing spiritual ministry with natural things. And so it's not wrong. But at the same time, there's this love for it. There's this passion for it. And you wouldn't, to be honest, you wouldn't have to pay me to do it. So what can you do without being paid? And in these things, what we're doing is we're looking for spikes of enthusiasm and a natural flow of energy. And in this, then, we'll see these biblical characteristics of purpose that manifest themselves in these ways. And I'll just quickly give you the list of them here, and then we're going to go through them one by one. There's desire. Desire actually turns into or results in ambition. And then there's energy. Energy that we'll see comes from the Lord for us to do, to be energized, like I shared with you at the very beginning, not with some kind of natural stimulants, but energized by the Lord to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. And then comes confidence, and with that competence, or competence, then confidence with that. So let's look at these individually and see some how it says in the scripture these biblical characteristics of purpose. First of all, again, as we talk about desire, we see in Scripture, first of all, Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I frequently, as I make mention of this Scripture, try to help people understand this, that this passage of Scripture does not say God will give you whatever you desire. You know, if those desires are selfish desires or fleshly desires or whatever, this is not saying that God will give you whatever you desire. What this is saying is God will put desires in your heart. And the operative part of that is, are you delighting yourself in the Lord? So delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll plant desires in your heart, and that ends up being motivation for you to pursue after those desires, because those desires are what he wills for you in your life. Frequently, young people will come to me and they'll ask for counsel as far as, you know, the direction of their life or where they should go, you know, in what area of study or pursuing what kind of career or whatever. And I ask them this question. I say, are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Well, what does that mean? And I think we can identify that with, you know, delighting the Lord, yourself in the Lord is, Lord, I want to live my life for you. I'm making you number one in charge of my life. And so with that, you know, my purpose is to please you with my life. I believe that would qualify as delighting yourself in the Lord. If you're doing that, then I believe that you can trust that the desires that you have, what is it that you desire? What would you love to do as a career? What would you love to do as a life calling? And if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, I believe that you can, with a high level of confidence, pursue after the desires that are on the inside of you, trusting that those have been planted there by the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And you start pursuing after those desires with the motivation that God has given you, that desire. And as a result of that, then you are fulfilling the plans and purposes of God. He planted desire in you. Another passage of Scripture that speaks about desire, Philippians 2:13. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." So one of these biblical characteristics of finding or defining God's purposes in our life is desire. What do you desire? God will give you desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Well, that desire then really kind of turns into the quality or the characteristic of ambition. We see a biblical example of this in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul is speaking about what it is that drives him or his ambition regarding his ministry to new peoples and new places when he says this. "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else." In other words, Paul, being the apostle that he was, the pioneer that he was, he said, you know, don't ask me to pastor someone else's church that they already started. Send me out to some place where they had not heard about Jesus yet. That's where I want to minister. That's where I want to build the people up. That's my ambition. And we could see that was the call of God upon his life. That desire that God put in him caused him to be ambitious about going out on his missionary journeys, going out and pioneering works all over Asia, all over the, you know, that eastern part of the world. Paul was involved in that because of his desire and his ambition. Energy is a huge thing we see in Scripture, several passages of Scripture that speak about the energy that God gives us. First of all, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace." Notice the things he says in there. "I've worked harder than the others, but it wasn't me doing it. It was God who was working through me by His grace." So the grace of God gave Paul the energy to work hard and work harder than the others were working. I think this kind of goes back to the, you know, how Jesus said, "He who is forgiven much loves much." And when Paul saw himself as, he started out as a persecutor against Jesus, seeing people in prison, seeing people put to death. Stephen, stoned. Paul stood there, held the robes of those that were stoning Stephen. That's the kind of life he had before his conversion to Christ on the road to Damascus. And I think as a result of how he had persecuted Jesus before, he said, you know, "I owe you, Lord Jesus, I owe you my life, I owe you my salvation, all that I am, I'm going to work hard for you, even if it's working harder than any of the other apostles." But realizing it was God that had given him the power, the ability to do that work. So, energy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul said, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." See, here the power is coming from the Lord. It's not an energy drink. It's not a caffeine fix. It's energy coming from the Lord to work hard, to do a good job. Christ's mighty power that works within me. He was depending on that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it well with all the strength and energy that God supplies." We've been seeing a lot of that going on through the years, but especially you guys have just been ramping it up in these past years and the activities and ministries that there have been opportunity to do. I see you guys doing, serving others and serving with this energy that God gives, this ability and strength and energy that God supplies. Remember again, it's not you doing it on your own. And this passage of scripture from Philippians 2 that's verse 13 from the Amplified Translation really points that out. It's not in your own strength, it says, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. See, it's the energy that comes from the Lord. It's not your own strength. And so if we want to be energized, find out what it is that God has for you to do. Find out the grace gift that God has for you to express, to function in. And he'll give you the energy to do it so that you're not doing it on your own. It is a grace from God to be energized by him to do the things that he has called you to do. You're saved to serve him, and he gives you the stuff to do it. Well, then let's talk about competence and confidence. We see this, both these qualities in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, where it says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Competence results in confidence. My son-in-law is an example of that, and I texted him this week and asked if I could use him as a sermon illustration. I says, I'm wondering if I can use you as a sermon illustration. I'm talking about the competence and confidence that goes with that, and I see that in exemplified in you and your work. I'm trying to read the fine print on the back screen. And he says, yeah, I don't have any problem being bragged on. You know, and right in there, you see the confidence, maybe tending a little towards, should I say the word arrogance? But, Tyler's great. But in fact, it was fun to watch him, one son-in-law working together with another son-in-law and their friend, Caleb and his friend Derek, when they built this stage here, to see the level of competence in their what they were doing. Here's two Seabees, builders in the Navy, that were putting their skills to work. And Tyler, he did a whole lot more than supervising. It kind of looks like that's what he's doing there. I do have proof that he was involved in the process as well. But a lot of brains behind it. And with all the competence, there was a whole lot of confidence in those guys working too. It was just amazing and fun to watch them, you know, put that together, and me just kind of sit back and being told what to do. That was a fun experience for me. I just enjoyed that. But they, again, had a great deal of confidence and competence, and it was just encouraging to see that expressed in people. But that's how God equips us, and that's how he gives us the ability to do. Speaking of confidence, our son-in-law, Tyler, he's been trained in audiovisual lighting for churches and concerts and that kind of thing. And with his level of knowledge and his level of confidence, he's used as a consultant. That's basically what he's doing, not only the technical work, but also as a consultant. And it's interesting because I don't know if you remember when Sean Mahawan was here a few weeks ago, he was sharing about and shared some pictures about the ministry that they were doing in Thailand, which is on the other side of the world. And he had talked about the conference that they had done and had some pictures of it and noticed the stage back of the conference center there that they had put up. Sean said, yeah, I got that idea to put that stage backing there. I got that idea off the internet. I was looking at some churches and noticed what they had. And he said, I think I can put that together. It was a tremendous idea. And Tyler asked him, well, what was the church? What was the internet site, the website that you were looking at to do that? And he said, well, it was Live Church in Wichita, Kansas. And Tyler goes, oh, he said, I built that set. And so here's Tyler's layout, him putting it together. And that was the set that, without the color light on it yet, but that was the set that Tyler had built for Live Church in Wichita, Kansas. And here, Sean Mahawan on the other side of the world sees that, replicates that for their conference center. And here's these two young men in our living room discovering this connection that was made from the world, the other side of the world. And here they are together. And that was just, it was so fun to watch that. And again, to see the competence, but then the confidence that goes with that. We can accomplish so much when we have confidence about doing what it is that God has called us to do. We give ourselves to it, we go for it with confidence and with the competence that God has given us, with the desire, with the ambition, with the energy that God has given us, and we can get a whole lot done for the Lord for His sake. Hallelujah. Another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 10, we looked at part of this before. It says, "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace." Again, the Apostle Paul is acknowledging, it's not me, whatever I am now, it's because of what God had poured out on me, His special favor that He had poured out on me. So our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of this covenant, in the various gifts that He has given us to do that. And in that, we have confidence then. That's one of those biblical qualities, characteristics, to help us to define and define our purpose. So in thinking about God's purpose for your life and these characteristics being functional, I want you to consider these things. First of all, He has a plan for your life. We've talked about that. We see that in Ephesians 2. We see that in Psalms 119, verse 16, that, you know, God has a plan for our life. Excuse me, Psalms 139, verse 16. It says that He already has works that He has created us to do. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Works that He's created us to do. And here's the deal. He has equipped you with gifts for doing those works. He didn't just say, this is what I want you to do, but by His grace, He gave us gifts to do those works, and to do them well, to do certain things well. And the energy, the desire, the ambition, the confidence to do those things and to do them well. And in all of that, He makes it enjoyable for us to do them. It's enjoyable to do them because He gave you the desire, which becomes motivation, which develops into ambition. And then you get to experience the fulfillment and the satisfaction of doing something and doing it well. And then the energy comes to do it, energy that's beyond your own strength, that enables you to go fulfill a purpose, fulfill a project that God has for you to do. And confidence and competence that comes with all of that. So it's enjoyable, something that's enjoyable to do. You know, let me just interject this, that as I alluded to before, I believe that this is God's plan for you for what you do in your life to earn a living, to earn an income, is that He equips you, He gives you things to do well, and you're able to exchange those things for payment, and so that your job really isn't a job because you love doing it. I'm not going to ask for hands of how many people love the job that they do and would even do it if they weren't paid, if there's some other way that they could take care of things financially, if they didn't need the pay for the job that they would do, they still would do it. You know, I believe that's the direction that God would have us. And unfortunately, when I've shared that message before here in this congregation, we had someone move away as a result of that message because he began pursuing after the desire that was in his heart as far as a career. And it meant more education and a different location to be able to do that. And so they moved. So I don't want any of you moving on, you know, because I'm sharing this message of great hope and everything, you know, but don't be moving on me, please. But still, it's just, you know, defining what God has given us to do. I just would like to take a little bit of time to, before I share about connecting to your opportunities, to just give a little bit of personal example of in my own life when we were making some dramatic changes in our life. We started out farming right after we had gotten married in 1979. And in our farming, we had 15,000 laying hens picking eggs every day. And then we bought a head of a herd of dairy cattle, 28 head of milking cows, and we had a small acreage to farm, and in that it was pretty labor intensive. But in the midst of that, I ended up sensing the call of God to ministry. My passion and my desire pursuing after that, I wasn't passionate about, you know, watching to make sure the cows got bred when they were in heat. You know, I mean, there's things you got to pay attention to be a good herdsman. And I wasn't all that good about that because that wasn't my passion and my desire. I was trying to be responsible in that. You can't just let things go and say, well, I just trust the Lord. I mean, there's things you have to do. But where I was really experiencing fulfillment was being a leader of a small group Bible study. And as I would prepare for that, I'd go to the Word and spend time in the Lord's presence, and the Spirit of God was, you know, just showering me with understanding of the Scripture and revelation, and I had the fulfillment and satisfaction of sharing that with others in that small group Bible study. And it soon became evident that to pursue after this desire that the Lord had dropped in my heart would lead us to a point of not farming for the rest of our lives, but going into full-time ministry and eventually establishing a church. So it was a huge transition that we were making in our lives as a result of pursuing after that passion, that ambition, that desire that God had put in me, energy to do that. We would do chores, we'd get up early, milk cows, go back out, pick eggs, and then I'd come in and have some lunch, and then I'd go to study. And, you know, there was energy to study because it was so exciting to do. However, sometimes I ran out of physical energy, and I'd fall asleep studying. In fact, one day, Melanie had put me in charge of watching Rodney. How old is he then? Just he was walking, but he was small. And anyway, I'd set up a screen tent out in the yard, you know, and was just taking advantage of the outdoors to, you know, set up a card table in there, studying, you know, writing down things and whatever. Anyway, I fell asleep and crashed and woke up. Melanie's there, and she says, "Where's Rodney?" I don't know. We looked all over the yard, and we couldn't find him. And so I got in the pickup truck and headed down the lane, you know, out into the farmland to see if he'd wandered off down there. And he, you know, I couldn't find him. We came back up, and we started going down the road. And here he was at the neighbor's house sitting on their front step. And he had walked with our dog. Our dog had followed him. But he had gone down through the bean field, edge of the road, bean field, and to the neighbor's, which was probably about a quarter of a mile away. He was about this big. And it was like, man, was I ever in trouble. But so, about a year and a half old. But, and so it's like, there's a couple of epic fails that I've had as a parent as a result of, you know, pursuing after the will of God in my life. But but for the most part, you know, there was energy to do that. I wasn't perfect in doing that. But anyway, you know, my point is in saying that is, you know, when God stirs in your heart a desire and a passion, pursue after that, trusting it's His will for you. And there was some challenges, though, when I began to do ministry, and that was in the area of confidence. You know, I started pastoring when I was 26 and had just started a church, and I had some good, mature people who were helping to, you know, for me to consult with and helping me to express oversight. But I still felt very challenged in my youth and inexperience with pastoring a church, and would oftentimes apologize, you know, saying, I wish I had more experience to be, you know, a better leader. And I really needed to take heed to Paul's words to Timothy when he said, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. And I just needed to make greater application of that. Not that people were challenging me because of my youth, not that anyone was thinking less of me, but I was thinking less of myself as a result of my youth and inexperience. I needed to allow that competence that God had given me to become confidence for me. So I just, you know, full disclosure, I just struggled with that. There came a point in my life, though, where, you know, the Lord was saying to me, I want you to more fully embrace the gifting that I have given you the call to spiritual leadership and to be a pastor to a congregation. And as I'm holding off, you know, saying, you know, kind of not arguing with the Lord, but in conversation with the Lord, saying, you know, that makes me uncomfortable when you're asking me that, because I know the accountability that goes with that. When you're giving spiritual leadership and you're embracing authority and you're saying, this is the direction of the Lord, come with me, let's go after that, because then you're accountable for all those that are following after you. And so I was reluctant to embrace that. And the Lord says, well, you'll be accountable whether you do it or not. So it's like, okay, well, I'll do my best then. And I had to ramp up my level of confidence. And one of the things that was so helpful for me in that is receiving counsel from one of our board members who said, Roger, never deny your heart. And that became something that I could hold fast to, because I had to trust that God was giving me the ability to give leadership to a congregation. And with that gift of ability to give leadership, there are many ideas, and people express ideas of, I think we should do this, or can we do this? It would be good for us to do this. And oftentimes those are just good things, but not necessarily what we're to do, at least how the Lord, I sense the Lord is leading us as a church or as a congregation, or me being responsible for taking a people a certain direction or not taking them a certain direction. Or what kind of ministries we have come to minister here just because they are called of God and have a gift of the Lord doesn't always mean that they fit with what we're doing. And so there's times where it's like, it just doesn't sit right with me, and I just ask you to trust the gift that God has given me and the competence that God has given me, and for me to be able to even say as simply as, it just doesn't bear witness with my heart, I can't deny my heart to go ahead after that thing or to pursue after that or to allow that or whatever. And so with that level of confidence, I trust the Lord or competence I trust the Lord has given me has increased that level of confidence for me to give spiritual leadership and it to come out okay. But now let's talk a little bit about connecting you to opportunities. When people ask the question, how do I know what God has called me to do? One of my words of counsel, besides pursuing after the desire of your heart, is row, row, row your boat. Whether it's a gentle stream or a whitewater rafting kind of experience, row your boat, because when you got your boat in motion, that's when God can steer it and move you to a place where maybe you've not been before, where he's desiring to get you. But if you're just sitting there, not doing anything, it's real hard to change direction. And so even when we give you opportunities to serve in various capacities, if you don't know, just try something. You might find out, you know what? I do this better than other people. Or, you know, I could do this without being asked to do it. I enjoy this. You know, you don't even have to pay me to do this. It'd be all right if you did, but you don't even have to pay me to do this because I enjoy doing it. Just try some things. That's what I mean by rowing your boat. And then you'll find God will be able to steer you in the direction that he has for you. So this is what we're talking about with connecting you to opportunities. Part of what we want to do is allow people to be used at their highest point of contribution. In other words, you're gifted to do certain things well. We want to help you find that. We want to watch until we have an idea and can help you with an idea of what you do effortlessly and what areas you're naturally drawn to. Where your person and your gifting could benefit the whole body. And then let you know the talents that we see and how you can benefit the whole. Sometimes it's merely doing this. It's helping you to discover what you're so used to that you don't recognize it. And that is, the fish is the last to discover water. They're living in the environment. They don't know the difference between water and not water. They don't realize it. And sometimes you are doing things naturally and you're gifted to do it. And you don't realize you're gifted to do it just because it's so natural to you. It's like you're in water and you don't even know it. It's like you're gifted to serve people and you don't even realize what a servant you are. It just comes naturally. You're gifted to encourage people and you don't even realize you're an encourager just because that's what you do. It's just so natural. And those are the things that we want to help you discover so you can actually label them and say, you know what, I know I'm gifted to serve, or I know I'm gifted to speak the gospel. I know I'm gifted to plant churches. I know I'm gifted for the missions field. I know that I'm gifted for whatever it is, whatever rubber meets the road for you. Those are the things that we want to help you to develop. And in conclusion, then, I'm going to ask you again to consider these questions towards that discovery. And Larissa's going to come forward, and we're just going to put some focus time into this last part of the message, where I want you just to take some time to put yourself before the Lord, and in asking these questions for the sake of discovery of your purpose. First of all, what do you do better than other people? What do you do without effort? What do you do without being asked? What do you do readily without being paid? And in this, we're looking for spikes of enthusiasm and for a natural flow of energy. It's part of discovering God's purpose for you, finding His purpose, energized to serve Him, because we are saved to serve. And then we'll experience the life fulfilled, life to the full, in Jesus' name. So as we take some time to reflect and think about those things, Larissa's going to lead us in a song, and we'll just make this our prayer to the Lord. This morning, as we express ourselves in what I trust to be another level of commitment to you, we have been saved to give our lives back to you, to serve you, and to serve one another. And Father, we thank you that you make it enjoyable for us to do by giving us all the equipment and the desire and the energy, the ambition, the confidence, the competence. All these things are ours, Lord, when we do as we have said. Lord, it's our desire to live our lives for you. Everything that I am, may we make this level of commitment to you here this day. So we pray in Jesus' name.